Oprah's cashing in on Lance's confession. From APM, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Midday Update. We'll take a look at how Oprah's struggling cable network may stand to gain from last night's Lance Armstrong interview. Plus, 7-Eleven takes Manhattan, or at least how the snack-slinging chain hopes to do so.
Balance your life with dollar signs. Tune into Marketplace Money this weekend for a look at the issues affecting your wallet. Whether it's investing, renting an apartment, or sending your kid off to college, we'll help you navigate.
Oprah Winfrey hopes the great shame of Lance Armstrong's doping will bring new fame to her cable network OWN. Joining us to see what kind of boost it could give is Brian Stelter, who covers TV for The New York Times. Good morning, Brian.
Good morning.
So give a sense, what kind of short-term boost did she get out of the broadcast last night as far as raking in additional ad money?
Well, the OWN was able to charge up to $100,000 for some of the spots in the special. That's, you know, about twice as much as they could charge for other big interviews that OWN has had in the past. Now, it's definitely not very high by television standards in general, but it's high for OWN. So it shows improvement for the channel, which has been pretty low rated for the first 2 years.
Now, we won't have final ratings for last night until this afternoon, but the early numbers are strong. And just based on the amount of people asking last night on Twitter which channel OWN is actually on, she definitely seems to have brought a lot of new people into the tent. So what is she doing, though, to keep those viewers watching OWN and turn the network around?
Well, during the Lance Armstrong interview, there were several commercials for other shows on OWN. There were these beautiful 60-second spots called brand spots that showed off six or seven or eight other shows on the network. It was funny in some cases to see them promoting programs that won't be on till April, but that shows how valuable they thought this broadcast was. I got to say, in the early ratings, I think some people might end up being disappointed. Sure, it was the biggest interview she's had on the channel, but it wasn't in the 10 or 15 or 20 million range the way some might have guessed, given the days and days of hype in advance. It really speaks to the fact that cable is a niche medium, that it's very hard to get a mass audience around anything on cable other than sports.
Now, if the Lance Armstrong boost, whatever it may be, if it's just a temporary bump, what does the network do then?
The channel will try to get more of these temporary bumps, I suppose. I think what we'll see is Oprah reinstating or reinserting herself as the biggest interviewer out there. I'm sure she's right now trying to get Monty Teo on the line, the Notre Dame player who may have made up his girlfriend or may have been hoaxed. Who knows? I know that Oprah's producers have reached out to him already, but she would love to follow up Lance Armstrong with another big interview like that.
All right. Always looking for that next big get. Brian Stelter from The New York Times. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
American mayors are meeting in Washington. A group of them has become one of the loudest voices in favor of new gun laws. Marketplace's David Gura has more from Washington.
More than 800 mayors belong to Mayors Against Illegal Guns. Its stated goal is protecting the rights of Americans to own guns while fighting to keep criminals from possessing guns illegally.
For them, it's not abstract. For federal officials, it often is too abstract.
John Feinblatt is chief policy advisor to New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg, the group's co-chair. This week, many mayors have been on Capitol Hill, and Feinblatt says they'll be back.
And they will be saying, why shouldn't we make our country safer? Can't we respect the Second Amendment and at the same time have sensible gun laws?
Lee Drutman, a senior fellow with the Sunlight Foundation, says on paper, the group is outmatched.
The NRA completely dwarfs what the gun control advocates are spending.
But just in the last month, since the shooting at Sandy Hook Elementary, 111 new mayors have signed on. In Washington, I'm David Gura for Marketplace.
Marketplace covers the world of economics. Are you ready for some Freakonomics? We're partnering with the team that writes about the hidden side of everything for a regular Marketplace Freakonomics story, podcast, and more. Just go to freakonomicsradio.com.
Think 7-Eleven and you probably think of the suburbs. There aren't many in Manhattan, but 7-Eleven wants to expand in New York. Marketplace's Dan Bobkoff reports on the Big Apple dreams of a beef jerky and Slurpee-fueled brand.
The last time 7-Eleven tried to put a stake down in Manhattan, it didn't go so well, says Ken Barnes, the company's regional development director.
You know, the industry was different then. It was more about cigarettes and beer.
Lots of places sold those, and 7-Eleven couldn't compete. It closed its few Manhattan stores in the early 80s. But now, 7-Eleven wants to grow, and fast. And Barnes says New York is the company's number one priority.
Where are we not where we could be the fastest and have the most number of stores?
Within 5 years, 7-Eleven could be nearly as ubiquitous in Manhattan as Starbucks. The company plans to open at least 30 new stores a year, like this one on the Upper West Side. So how does it feel to actually see your store?
Oh, it's fantastic. This is literally my first time checking out the store.
Last month, construction crews put the finishing touches on Neil Gazzara's franchise. He quit a career in banking when he read that 7-Eleven had big plans for New York.
Just to be my own boss, finally, is really kind of exciting.
But today's 7-Elevens compete more on food than commodities like cigarettes. Some have fruit slices and kosher goods. There are also the usual chicken wings, burritos, and Slurpees that the company hopes will appeal to New Yorkers on the move. And there's another reason 7-Eleven can take Manhattan. Because of the downturn, Barnes says there are more open storefronts.
There are properties that are available that 5 years ago I wouldn't have been able to touch.
That's, of course, bad news for shop owners like Hyung Chan Yu.
I don't know. I don't know why they do that to me.
For years, he's had a corner deli with a salad bar in the Chelsea neighborhood. After 7-Eleven opened next door recently, his sales are down 25%.
Time to time, little by little, they taking my customer and, you know.
And 7-Eleven has another competitive advantage. It's exempt from Mayor Bloomberg's big soda ban. In New York, I'm Dan Bobkoff for Marketplace.
And finally, Yelp tells you what regular folks really think about restaurants, but now it's adding the dirty truth. It's rolling out a feature where cities can add health scores to the site. It starts in San Francisco before rolling out to New York and elsewhere. In New York, I'm Mark Garrison. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.